3, 2, 1. Ave Maria, I'm Friar... Oh, I'm just padded again. Ave Maria, I'm Friar Terence here in Rome, Italy, at our House of Philosophy, the Franciscan Friars of the Immaculate, here with Friar Anthony Servium. And as you know, when we talk to Friar Anthony Servium, we tend to focus on the liturgy. So I'm going to ask him what we've been doing here in Italy with regards to the liturgy, especially regards to the Tridentine Mass, because we know that the motu proprio came out 3 years ago. The Holy Father asked for the Tridentine Mass to be used, the extraordinary form to be used more often, and the friars have taken that as an initiative by the Holy Father to bring back the sacredness of the liturgy into the church. And so with that in mind, I'm going to ask Friar Anthony, what have the friars been doing regarding along that line, and also regarding the conference that we recently had on Vatican II. So if you can give us a little recap of that, Friar.
Well, with the liturgy for us, there seems to be a lot of confusion, I think, even within religious orders that are trying to follow the Holy Father and his initiative. And some people ask, what is that initiative of the Holy Father to allow the traditional Mass? Because some people think that they want it just to be something for the traditionalists, that allow them to come back into the church. But really, if we look at the document of what he wrote, and we're starting to see this right now within the work in these last couple of years of implementing this with our friars, I've seen within them, they start to understand more of the tradition. And something that our Holy Father said before the motu proprio in 2005, when he was speaking to, it was in December, he was speaking to the Curia, come here. Curia of Rome, that's the heads of all the major offices, like the office for the religious and these different parts of the Vatican that take care of all the different parts of the church. They're cardinals mostly and bishops. And what he explained to them, the first time he used as the Pope, the word, the hermeneutics of continuity. And in that, we see in the motu proprio, what he wants is us to understand, because there's a break. He calls it a rupture within the liturgy, within the tradition. When they implemented the new things for the ordinary form of the liturgy, the reform that they did during the Second Vatican Council, there came a rupture, what he says, from our tradition. And now we have a mentality. A lot of people in the world have a mentality. Well, I like this and I don't like that. I understand this and I don't understand that. Is the Mass valid if I haven't understood the words of the Mass? And he's explained a lot of these things in the different books that he's written, especially Spirit of the Liturgy. But what I've seen in our friars, because it was the same thing, our friars, Franciscan friars of any sort, are a good example of those in the world. But these are the ones that have vocations and want to give themselves to God and become greater saints. So they take on that other vocation, that religious vocation, make that profession to God. So it's not like everyone that comes here wants the... There's a great variety of different persons within our order. And even when they came with the same mentality, well, I like this, I don't like that. And what I've seen in the last 2 years with the liturgy, there's an understanding that they've developed naturally. I understand why we do this. Why don't we do this in the new form of the Mass? Why do we do this in the old form of the Mass? They're starting to make these connections with where the Mass actually came from, because it's not something we developed. It's something that was given to us by the apostles, and that through our understanding of this divine mystery, we were able to develop more richly what the ceremony that goes along with, because the ceremony, the ritual of the Mass, it teaches us the faith, it teaches us the mystery of the Mass, because liturgy is something that allows us to enter into the mystery. In the new form of the Mass, they speak about the liturgy of the Word, the liturgy of the Eucharist, the liturgy, it's always the liturgy of something, but they take away, there's that rupture of understanding what exactly is this liturgy. We read something now, we walk over here and do something here, we turn to the people, we say this, we do, but there's not a continuity that shows us where the liturgy came from. So in these last few years, Father Stefano and Father Gabriel saying that, you know, we're a new order that developed from the Second Vatican Council, the words of our Holy Father Paul VI. We accept, we want to do what the Holy Father wants us to do. Until the Holy Father said we could do the old Mass, we only did the new Mass, and now we do both. But we know, as our founders have said, we know which one's better. We know which one helps us enter in to the mystery more profoundly, and that is the one connected to the tradition of the Church. And we, as the Holy Father wants, we want to help bring that reverence and the tradition into the new Mass, so that when the reform, there has to be a reform of the Mass. Has to be. There's too much confusion with what the new Mass is and how you're supposed to do it. But we see where the Holy Father wants us to start. He wants us to start with understanding our tradition, and understanding our tradition by understanding the traditional Mass. Because it's only through the traditional Mass we're going to understand the new Mass and how we're supposed to offer and participate, for the lay people, participate in the new Mass. It's not just a dialogue between this person and that person, but it's a movement, as Pope Benedict says when he wrote as Cardinal Ratzinger, it's a movement of the people of God under the pastoral care of the shepherd, the priest, moving towards the cross, our victory. So, in this, we've now, in our order, all of our professions, at least for these last 2 years, have been in the traditional rite. They're just beautiful. The ordinations, we're doing our ordinations in the traditional rite. It's just beautiful. I mean, afterwards, the people say they don't understand what's going on. They don't understand Latin, but they do understand this. That's the closest thing I've ever seen to heaven. And it's not an aesthetical. They see the hierarchy. They see our movement towards heaven. They see all of our praise and glory being offered to God as one body towards God. Not an interaction, talking and praying together and a catechism during it's truly a movement. It's something that we do together towards and for God, for His glory and His honor and for our salvation. But I don't know if I could say more about
it. Well, so I'm sure you could say more, because you are our expert here in the liturgy, and you've actually been helping us in the other countries as well to learn the new Mass, to learn the old Mass, and learn to serve it with dignity and reverence, and bring back the sacredness of the Mass to the world, really, which what the world needs. And we have the great grace tomorrow of having our new cardinal is going to be coming here. And you want to tell a little bit about that?
We went to ask. It's great being in Rome. 30 minutes away is Cardinal Burke, so we just called him up on his cell phone and can we come up and pay you a visit? And so we went and visited him one evening at his apartment, and just that he's a good friend of our community and knows our friars in America, and entrusted his he founded the chapel of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Wisconsin, and so he knows our friars very well. And we talked for a little bit, and then asked him if he would mind, because we wanted to give glory to God. We wanted to thank God for His elevation to the cardinalate. How do you say the cardinalate?
Sounds good.
And so he agreed to do it. It was hard finding a date, and we decided to do maybe a little more than a week ago, to do 2 weeks ago, to have a pontifical high mass in where our new philosophy house is. It's a very modern church. They built it like a theater. It's just all bricks and just real ugly, but the altar's beautiful. So anyways, it was a reason for us to give thanks to God for His elevation, and to do something beautiful, to do a beautiful thing in an ugly church. This has given us, this is our motto right now. So in these last few days, we've been preparing the church, trying to add splendor to the church, correcting some of it's just an ugly church. And now we have things on the altar for the candles. It's all prepared. It looks like a real church. And you're there, you don't just look at dirty bricks behind the altar. This is another thing we see in the motu proprio. We have reason. We have a reason now to do something more. The Catechism says that it's a virtue to do something to help restore the churches, to help beautify the church. That's a virtue. And so to see the friars putting all of their... That's something St. Francis did. He used to sweep out the churches. So we asked Cardinal Burke to come. I think this might be his first pontifical mass in the old form. But he'll be coming. We'll have the... he'll be vested at the altar in front of everybody, because we don't have a sacristy or anything like that. But it'll be a beautiful, the space is prepared. We've had our practices. The friars are pretty much ready. And we hope to have a beautiful mass tomorrow with His Eminence, Monsignor Burke. who I ask everyone if they could just pray for him. He's a great grace for Americans to have him here in Italy representing us Americans. We just have to keep praying that he can support the cross of his new. He's very, when you become a cardinal, you have to do a lot of things. So pray for Cardinal Burke.
No, it's really interesting too. I heard a story that one of the problems with some of the people in the council was that the two of the biggest areas where they had difficulties were the religious and priests from Germany and the religious and priests from the United States were caused a lot of problem in the council among some of the members. And so I've heard it said that in order to make reparation for that, we've had a pope now from Germany, and we hope in the future that to have a pope from the United States to help restore some of the life back into our church. And some of our friars really hoping that Cardinal Burke will be that pope, but that's another story.
Several years ago, you can't tell anybody, but several years ago, our founder said that, he speaks Italian, our founder, but he said that Cardinal Burke, or at that time, Monsignor Burke, Vescovo Burke, Bishop Burke, he was very Pope Bobile. He's popable. It's so we have to keep praying. I mean, he's very, pray for his sanctity and his holiness and his ability to support the cross.
And I know, Friar, I was asked beforehand, it's Christmas, so we can be a little bit more relaxed. I hope things on a little bit more mundane side regarding the habit. I was asked to ask you a question about the habit. I'm not sure what the question is, but I'm sure you have the answer. So if you could help us out.
I'll just give a little bit of background. Every once in a while, because I'm attached to the liturgy, I'm the one that has to prepare everybody for the liturgy. I study the liturgy, do the Master of Ceremonies. I get blamed for everything. So around the same time, one of our friars, he makes all the habits. And he started experimenting because it gets boring making habits all day long for 400 friars.
For all of Europe, yes.
For all of Europe. So he's constantly making habits all day long, every single day. And he's very dedicated and works very hard. But then he started experimenting. He wanted to have a different hood. He wanted to have, because the friars don't know how to fix their hoods. It's always very, it's disordered in the back. And so he thought, I'll make a rigid hood, because the other friars, even for the last 200 years, had a more rigid hood. It was more ordered. So he started experimenting. He presented it to Padre Stefano. Padre Stefano accepted it. And these first hoods, they looked like you would put the early astronaut helmets on and you would tighten them on. They were just huge and they were really hard and they were very ugly. And so the friars, knowing that this was something that came from the past, linked it to the Mass because it happened around the same time. And even one friar made a comment to me. But basically what the comment was, thanks for the old Mass and the new hoods. So I've taken the blame for the new hood, but I just wanted to dispel this now. The hood's a whole different thing. It has nothing to do with the Mass.
Nothing to do with the Mass.
No, it's just Fra, he thought it was better to make that hood. And our superiors thought it better that the friars not have a disordered hood in the back. So they accepted that. And for the liturgy, it works a little bit better because the priest can put up his hood and take it down without it being a little crumpled ball in the back. That's what it turns out to be. So that's not a problem, but it's not my fault. It's not my fault.
This is just a warning for our families in the United States that the new hood may be coming to the friaries in the U.S., so keep an eye out for that.
You get used to it.
You get used to it? Well, I haven't had the opportunity to wear it yet, so we'll see how it goes. Friar Anthony, any last words? Do you want to give any other exhortations to the faithful, any greetings, any thoughts, any?
Well, I do want to say, here in Rome, we come in contact with a lot of Americans, a lot of young American vocations from our order, in the Institute of Christ the King, and I come in contact with others. But I encourage the people to keep praying, especially for American. If you can find the prayer for Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray the prayer of Our Lady of Guadalupe and pray for the conversion of America, because in that prayer, the conversion of America first and then the whole world. But that's going to happen, I think, from all these American vocations. But if the lay people and the other people that are watching this, if you don't pray your rosary, make your sacrifices, especially your little fasts and going, making your offertory at Mass with the priest, not port carrying the stuff, but making your offertory, the suffering that you have every day, in union with the cross, these are the things we can get many, many more vocations for our order, which we want to help rebuild the church. That's our Franciscan vocation. The other orders, they have their own vocations. They have their own charisms that they have to fill out in the church. But it's a good sign. We see a lot of Americans here, and there's a zeal within Americans that we don't see sometimes here in Europe, because they have a slower culture. They move slower. But Americans, we want to conquer the whole world and do it right away for the Immaculate Virgin. So I recommend let's pray the prayer, especially to Our Lady of Guadalupe, and pray for conversions and offer our sacrifices so we can get more vocations over here, and we can help change the ever-decreasing faith that's in the world.
No, and it's getting, when it's more dark in the world with the culture that we have, the lights shine brighter, and we get to see the lights, the new lights in the church, in our order, and also in the other orders that are flourishing now. So thank you, Fr. Anthony, for your time, and I don't know if you want to sing a Christmas hymn before we go, or...
After.
We can do it off camera. Okay. Off camera. All right. This is Friar Terence again. Merry Christmas to everyone. And we're reporting here from Rome, Italy, outside of our friary. And we hope to see you soon in Italy, or at least on the internet. So thank you, Ave Maria, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.